Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Cal Ori, author intuitive, who currently pens an Earth Changes column for Oracle 2020, a national magazine. She writes the horoscope column for Complete Woman, and she's also a phone psychic for an international network. She's been on coast to coast, so she's quite experienced, and we're going to hear about her work. So welcome to the program, Cal.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
We're told by Cal that she's got some sort of bug, and she's trying to clear her tube so that you're going to hear her. But it all sounds rather smooth, I must say. Now, getting into your story, what was it that you mentioned that since the age of eight was that your teachers noted with your writing?
They noticed when I was 8 years old in third grade that I had a gift for creative writing. My first poem was published in the school newspaper, School Days, and then all my autobiographies were read in front of the class. And it's not because I had a more exciting life, mind you. I grew up middle class, suburban San Jose, California. It's just that I used my imagination and made up things. So my teachers, they honed in into that from third grade, fifth grade, just all the way on, and through college and graduate school. And I noticed back when I was 8 years old, there's a similarity with creative writing. It just comes to me. It is a gift. You know, you go to the computer, you go to the piece of paper, and I just start writing. And I mean, for books, I have an outline, obviously, but when I do write, it just comes to me. And it's the same thing when I do predictions for earth changes or even the phone psychic work. It just comes to me in different messages, whether it's dreams, visions, word, picture images, body signs. It all comes to me. I'm just super sensitive, and what can I say?
Well, you said quite enough there, I imagine.
yeah.
Certainly a long list of your abilities and achievements. But just getting back to when you were a child, do you think at that time you may have been in any way what some people would call sort of clairvoyant?
Clairvoyant, I'm not sure if I like that word. I'm super intuitive. Where when I was a child, I sensed when things were wrong. I sensed when people were saying mean things about me. I sensed when my father was doing bad things. I sensed when my mother was upset. Just ultra sensitive. At 12 years old, when the Great Alaska earthquake happened in 1964, I didn't have visions of that happening, but after it hit and I saw pictures, that's what led me into the earthquake sensitivity. And people put me down for a few years. There wasn't groups like there are today, earthquake sensitives, where people believe we can sense oncoming quakes. Back then I was on my own and made fun of, and I was very sensitive to that. And I feel that I've gone a long way, as a lot of other people. Usually if you are in a great quake or a major quake, then you'll start tuning into your gut instincts and how you may have sensed it before. So,
right. So when you have these visions, presumably a lot of them are of events that haven't yet happened, are they in a picture form, or do you see something that looks like the actual happening of it, i.e. if you see an earthquake, you actually see some result from it?
Both. One that happens a lot is that I use some of my knowledge. I use the USGS map online. Just go to USGS California, Nevada, and it gives you United States, the whole world. And they show you little squares when earthquakes happen. And if I see a swarm, or even if I see nothing, I'll get an image of a big red square. And that actually happened with recently, January 9th, we had a 6.5 offshore Northern California. And nobody was really, one person was hurt, but we were very lucky. But the importance of that quake is I did envision it for 3.5 years of that big red square. I was 27 miles off the epicenter. And it was very close to me because I had a wager with geologist Jim Berkland, who I wrote a book about. He said Southern California would get the next 6.0, and I said Northern California would. And I held my ground. And with that, the vision, I couldn't shake it, no pun intended, but I just couldn't get it out of my mind. And whenever I looked at the map, I always saw that ominous, red square, and it's exactly how it happened. I remember that Saturday, a friend of mine in the Bay Area called me, and I knew right away. I started screaming. I go, "Oh my God! Oh my God! It happened! It happened!" And then I logged on to the computer, my laptop, when I was still on the phone with my friend, and I started screaming. Not because, I was happy that people could be hurt and there would be infrastructure damage, but because I won this wager, and I proved again that my instincts were spot on. So I only won $100, and it wasn't the money. It was just that, we've been on so many shows bickering, oh, no, it's Southern, it's Northern, it's Southern, and I won. The second time, mind you, through my intuition. So I was very pleased.
That's quite reassuring when you feel you do have these abilities. Now, you say that positive thoughts can help stop negative things from happening. Is that something you say because you found that from your own experience?
It is. Well, positive thoughts, I believe that we can toy with destiny. And I've learned that it's taken a while to learn that, but you can toy with it. And like with the phone psychic work, when I get people calling me with negative happenings, which most of them are, I always like to leave them on an upbeat note and be prepared, just like, if they knew a quake was coming. But usually it's about, relationships or finances, things like that. But I always get them in a preparedness mode and to think positive. Like last night I had a call from a young man that really wants to ask a woman out. But he's scared that she's going to reject him. So I told him to start envisioning her saying yes. And I do believe that if you have visions of something happening, you can actually make it happen. If you can see it, taste it, feel it. So many times that has happened to me, to turn something around where you can make it happen and it can be good. Positive.
I'm sure there's a lot of truth in that. I think if people focus on what they want, a similar thing happens, isn't it? It is indeed where you put your focus.
Right. And I also believe the other way you can make something, if you keep having negative thoughts and don't tune it out and get rid of it, it's negative energy, and you can make that negative thought come to fruition. It's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. So when
yes.
people call me and they have this negative energy, oh, my God, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? I try to help them to chill out, to stop stressing, to stop thinking, even put a rubber band around their wrist and snap it every time that they get the negative thought and turn it into a positive one.
Right. Now, one of your main claims to fame seems to be your predictions of Earth changes. I want to concentrate on how well you've done this year, but just in general terms, how well did you do in 2009?
I don't remember 2009. Gosh, I've been so consumed with 2010, but I know I did fairly... Oh, wait. No, I do know 2009. You're right. Okay, here we go. I had an article. Here we go. I did quite well, actually. The Long Beach quake, I got a lot of attention from that. I nailed it. And that was based on my intuition. I was on Coast to Coast the next day for that. It was a 4.9, which may seem, you know, it's a moderate quake, but it was very strong, and it was widely felt, and it got national, if not international, attention. And what's very uncanny about that, I was looking at the map one day before I made the prediction, and it did happen in my window, and I was, you know, right with the magnitude. But before that I knew what fault it was on, I said that a quake was going to happen there. And then I started digging into it more, no pun intended again, and I noticed that it was going to happen on the same fault line zone. And that's what really shocked me, because I'm not that familiar. I knew they had a great quake in 1933, but I didn't know it was going to be on the same fault zone, and it was. And that was all intuition, because I am not a geologist, but I am a geology buff, and I know more than the average layperson about faults, especially in California, being a native Californian. So I know my faults, and I just know the history of quakes in California. I really do. But that one kind of shocked me, that after I made my prediction, how it all kind of came into play.
Right. Now, so far this year, we're heading towards the three-quarter mark stage. How have you done so far? What do you see of any great significance in the remaining part of the year?
The first one, of course, on January 1st, I made my predictions on my New Year forecast for the quakes. On January 9th, I got the 6.5, so that was definitely a 100% hit, is what we call them. I said that I believe that an Asian country, Taiwan, Japan, or China, would have a 7.0 plus and a destructive tsunami. I believe it was in February, Japan did have a 7.0, and there was a tsunami alert, but there was only a tiny tsunami, like 1 foot or something. So I consider that somewhat of a hit, and I am happy that it wasn't a great tsunami. How can you say, oh, wow, a hit, when people are, you know, I wouldn't want to go there. So I am happy that it was a hit, but that there was not a destructive tsunami. I'm looking at these other ones. San Fernando Valley, I said a 5.0 would hit Southern California, and we did have a 5.9 a few months back, and it was widely felt throughout San Fernando Valley. And I was pleased with that, because when I was doing the phone psychic work, it's very easy for me to pick up on where these callers are calling from. They call me all around the world, and I don't know how I do that, because it's not always accents. You know, people in Canada, I know they're calling from Canada, not because of the accent, just, I don't know, it's just a tone in their voice, whatever. But this one woman called, and I knew right away she was calling from Southern California. And I even went further, and I nailed it. I said, you're in San Fernando Valley, aren't you? And she was a bit surprised that I knew. And then I felt compelled to warn her that we were going to have a quake, and she was going to feel it. And within a week, she definitely felt it, and she called me back. And that was rewarding, because, again, you know, it's just showing that my psychic abilities do work, and I did prepare her, and it feels good when I can do that.
Right, yes. And I gather also that you can sense or intuit the age of a person, their sun sign, and a bit that I was curious about, you said they usually end up being on the cusp of two signs. What's that mean?
Right. When the people call, when I first started this 7 months ago, I would always, I was trained or taught to say, ask the person what their birth date and year they were born. But that got to be boring for me. I like challenges. And before I knew it, I could tell just right off the bat if a person is a fire, earth, water, air sign. And it's the way they carry themselves. An air sign, I'm an air sign, a Libra. We're very analytical. We're very talkative, as you can tell. Usually we're intelligent. A fire sign, they're very, very intense, very passionate, very strong, calm. confident, and I noticed that I don't like fire signs because they make me anxious in my clavicle. I'll feel it, like, you know, I'll feel their energy so strong. And sometimes after a fire sign caller, I'll have to hang up and just sign off for a little bit to chill myself, because they really, they get me going. Even if I solve the problem, it's just so intense. And earth sign, they're very reserved and shy. And I have, it's like pulling teeth to get them to, you know, tell me, you know, if I ask them a question, to open up and be open. Water signs are so, so emotional. I mean, I have callers calling me crying or very, very upset, you know, like a Scorpio, and I just feel that as well. And when I say on the cusp, if they're right, sometimes it'll be a little bit blurry for me, and I can't get a real quick read if they're an earth sign. And then when I find out the day they were born, usually it's because they're born right, you know, right, usually 5 days either way. Most astrologers believe that. Some go to 10, 5 days either way from this, you know, like a Libra. If a Libra calls me and she was born on October 22nd, she's on the cusp of a Libra and Scorpio. But then as the call progresses, I can tell which traits usually she has more of. So, and astrology isn't the only thing I use, because sometimes, you know, astrology just isn't everything, but it really helps when I use my intuitive powers with astrology. And also sometimes I'll bring out a tarot card to get an objective read. And what's really cool is that usually, more times than not, it all coincides and comes together. The tarot card confirms what I tell them. And then astrologically, you know, I pay attention to the lunar cycles, full moon, Mercury retrograde, new moon, all that, all of it, just like I do predict earthquakes. It's the same thing. You just put all these tools together, and it can really help you get a good read.
I've dabbled around with the tarot card, but when you use it, do you deal yourself cards on their behalf, which give you this intuitive interpretation, or do they select them?
No, because they can't, since they're on the phone. Now, you know, I've done that. I've gone to psychics where they, you know, put out the whole deck, and then you choose them, you touch them, or they do it for you. I don't do that, and I only like to use one or two cards. And what I do, I just take one from the top, which is really, it's kind of fun. I don't like to cheat. Well, on rare occasion, if it's a really negative card or just doesn't apply to the question that we're focusing on, I will tell them the truth and just say, I don't like that card, it doesn't apply. And then I'll choose another one, which I've done for myself as well. Well, sometimes the card, just the translation of it doesn't apply to what we're asking it. Like, you know, is your boyfriend coming back to you? Is he cheating? Are you going to get the job of your dreams? You know, things like that. But and then I translate it. And then again, like I say, I translate it for their situation, kind of custom tailor it. And it's really surprising how it seems to all fit by the end of the reading. And again, it scares me. I don't know if scare is the right word, but it surprises me that when people call, I know right away what region they're calling from. And again, accents always aren't the reason. You know, a southern accent I can pick up very easy. Trinidad, I get a lot of calls from, but not all the people have a strong accent from Trinidad and the Caribbean. It's just the way they carry themselves. And in Canada, I can actually tell if they're calling from a eastern or western province. And it just, I don't know, it kind of surprises them, but then they may think that, you know, the network tells us where they're calling from, but they don't. They just patch us in. You know, they don't know my phone number, and I don't know theirs.
Right.
So,
I gather you can also tell whether they have a toothache or a heartache or whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to do that. Even the first, within the first sentence or two, I could tell it's really, and I win them over because they're wondering, God, how did she know that? It's just, especially certain signs, water signs, it's such an easy read. They sound so depressed when it's a relationship issue. And, you know, it's not just romance calls that I get. Usually, I'll hone into the health thing after we talk for a while, but I don't want to scare them, and we're not even supposed to give, you know, dish out health advice. But I have been pegged as a health author for 25 years. But I really don't, dish out medical advice. I try to, it's kind of like a, it's difficult to walk the line and do what I do for the health part. I'll say that I'm picking up that there's a slight health issue, nothing to be alarmed about, but have you been putting off a doctor visit? Oh, yes, yes. Don't tell me. And then I say, okay, I'm picking up. There's a chance you could have a heart problem or nothing bad, or maybe you've been putting off a dental visit. And so many times I am right. And then I go into preventative medicine, you know, you've got to do this. I could tell if they're overweight, you know, so I just give them, you know, practical preventative care tips. And, in you know, kind of forewarn them to keep an eye on it or to see, you know, their health practitioner. Mm. And more times than I would say my accuracy rate on that is at least 80%. And I feel really good about that because I feel I'm using my healing powers. You know, I'm not, you know, you're going to die, blah, blah, blah. I'm not, you know, a negative type of psychic advisor. It's positive information and positive reading that I'm giving them.
I'm not too surprised to know that you say the most common problem that you face is unrequited love. And I guess when people come on to you, what they really want to hear is a positive answer from you in their favor, isn't it? But how do you deal with that when you have to say no?
I will not do that. And I'm a very down-to-earth psychic advisor, and it's because years ago I spent $2,000 one weekend calling the $4.99 per minute psychic saying, is he cheating on me? Of course he was cheating on me, but I didn't want to hear that. I knew in my gut he was. And I don't want to hurt their feelings. You know, they're crying when they call me, some of these girls. Some of these women, they have kids. They have families. They're still in love, or they think they're in love. But what I do, because I've been in their shoes, part of it, I try to empower them. You know, they don't need to be treated like this, like a doormat. They don't have to go there. And some of the stronger ones, I get them to see that. You know, where they can just move on and it's the other person's loss. And I'm sure there's other psychic advisors out there that'll tell them what they want to hear. Oh, yes, honey, he's coming back. Oh, no, he's not cheating. But I just don't go there. I call it like it is, but I'm gentle and pragmatic and give them options. I find out, you know, if they're financially solvent, where they could actually go on their own. It's just like the earthquake prediction. I get them in the preparedness mode, if need be. But sometimes I'm not judgmental. You know, if I get a man or a woman calling me and they're saying that they're involved or they want to be involved with someone married, you know, I'm Catholic and I'm really against it, but I'm not judgmental with them. And I give them an honest read on how I feel it'll play out.
Right. How do you deal with people that might be in danger of some sort of physical violence?
How did you know that? Because you're intuitive. I've gotten those calls, and they're very rewarding, too, because then it's almost like I'm a battered woman's counselor, and I go into that mode, but I can tell. And one man, this woman was stalking him, and it was getting really bad, and she was on a mission, and we're talking fatal attraction. And, you know, I advised him to definitely call the police and get a restraining order. And I was so pleased when he called me back a few days later and he told me it did escalate as I sensed it would. He did call the police and, you know, he did everything I suggested. And I felt good about that. And reverse, when women call up, I can tell if they're being abused verbally, emotionally, or physically. I can read into that because been there, done that when I was younger. So I feel really good about those calls because I'm helping as well.
Right. Now, let's get back to some of your predictions here. You're used to predicting drought, famine, flooding, and severe winter storms. What do you see for the rest of this year?
Well, I've already made a prediction, I think, on my blog or somewhere, and I'm feeling it at Tahoe. We're going to have a very cold, cold winter fall. And we're already in the 30s. I mean, we're not even out of summer. What is today, September 10th? And it was 30 last night. That is very cold for Lake Tahoe. So, and when I made that prediction a couple days later, some organization, it wasn't NOAA, it was some other organization, also said the Pacific Northwest all the way down to Lake Tahoe is going to get slammed with, you know, rain, snow, in the, you know, late fall and winter. And that made me feel kind of like, oh, wow, I was right. And I do believe I'm right. We've been in a drought, so I do believe the Pacific Northwest. I was right for, this year about the Midwest in America and the Northeast. They definitely got hammered with snow. And so that was almost a no-brainer there. But I haven't given much thought to the rest of the weather, except for, you know, the West Coast right now, 2011. Usually I'll do that December when I get a feel for it. I'm still kind of waiting for some other predictions to pan out for January, for 2010. I said that we would have more hurricanes and more tornadoes, which really didn't pan out. Just recently, though, we had the scare of the hurricanes, and, you know, one was going to be, what, a Category 4, and then it was downgraded to Category 3. We had an outbreak of tornadoes in Texas the other day, but it was nothing like I thought it would be. And even, the Farmer's Almanac, they were wrong as well. So I don't feel too bad. I was sort of right about the double dip recession. I said that we would have a double dip. It depends on where you live. The way I said it in the magazine article, I said, well, I predicted a recession for 2008. Like many people, I was 1 month off. A double dip recession may occur, or at least feel like turbulent times, which is true. Especially depending upon where you live, you know, in America. I also went on to say the middle class will struggle to make ends meet and there will be haves and have-nots. I have definitely seen that. You know, the affluent people don't seem to be really challenged by the recession as much as the middle class. I said that food prices and health care, that would be affected. My health insurance, the premiums just were raised 18%. And I said clothing and housing cost would offer good deals, of course. I mean, look at all the foreclosures. You can get a great house if you have the money.
Yes,
so I say that again.
I said, yes, indeed, you're right.
Yeah. So even though I flunked math and I am a spendthrift, I was spot on with the economy. Food, I said that people would resort to home cooking. They totally are. I mean, the Food Network channel is really popular. I've resorted to home cooking the past year. I have a column for the Tahoe Tribune, What's Cooking at Callie's Cabin. I love to cook and bake now. If you caught me a couple years ago, I wouldn't even, I don't cook. But now I love to. It's just it's one of the things I love to do.
Right. Now, the period of time we're in is experiencing quite a few earth changes, and people expect these possibly to increase going through to the end of 2012, which is expected to be a very important time for a dramatic earth change. Have you had any intuitive feelings that go that far ahead?
Definitely. I do not. I did see the movie, 2012. I do not believe the world is going to end on December 21st, 2012. I do believe in 2011 and 2012, we are going to see some really scary, scary earth changes, meaning maybe another Indian Ocean quake, tsunami type of thing. Not necessarily a quake tsunami, but, you know, it could be volcanic. Or California could have the big one. You know, I was asked, well, are we going to have the big one, meaning a great quake, 8.0 or stronger in magnitude, on coast to coast? I was asked that. I said I did not see that for 2010. I said more likely for 2011, 2012. And, of course, there is a very good possibility. I mean, even the USGS will say, you know, it's just a matter of time. We are going to have a great quake again in California. I mean, the San Andreas fault line, there's so many faults that just overlap throughout California. If not California, it could be anywhere in the Ring of Fire around the world. So I do believe we're going to see a great quake, an 8.0, maybe even a 9.0 again, like we have seen. So I do see a lot of earth changes, but again, I do not believe the world's going to end with earth changes on December 21st. I don't believe Mother Nature does that. I believe, you know, where we know exactly when it's going to happen. I believe more that these things happen when, even though I predict them, they don't happen the exact minute, day, time that we expect them. There's still a surprise element to it. Does that make sense?
Yes, indeed. The only point I would add there is that December 2012 is seen to be likely to result in a great upliftment, because they're talking about our sun being in direct alignment with the central sun, and apparently that means a shift of very powerful energy.
Right.
So maybe a big change is more appropriate than calling it the end time as such.
Right. But I remember back, I think in 1982, all the planets were going to get an alignment, and the Jupiter effect, and everything was going to happen, and I bought into that, and it so didn't happen. 1999, the Y2K so didn't happen. I just believe that... I believe that we're probably going to, there's going to be some sort of terrorist attack, or some sort of man against man is more likely from now until December 2012 than Earth changes. I think that we have more of a chance of that, of some type of limited war. And I know people don't believe in such a term, you know, once you start, you know, a nuclear strike. You know, there's no such thing as a limited war. It can escalate. But I do believe that we are our worst enemy, more so than Mother Nature. But whatever happens, definitely challenges lie ahead. No doubt. No doubt in my mind at all. And maybe I'm feeling this strongly because subconsciously, you know, tomorrow, September 11th, you know, so many of us can't forget that. And it just, when you're sensitive, and even if you're not, you just can't forget things like that. And,
absolutely.
And history repeats itself with earthquakes and with other things, you know, from women getting beaten up by their partners or vice versa. It just, history repeats itself.
Now, where your intuition is concerned, do you also get feelings, say, on a spiritual level when you're dealing with someone? Can you tell whether they're highly spiritual or otherwise?
Definitely. It's funny you say that. This morning I was, out of curiosity, looking at the religion of people in Trinidad, Caribbean, because I get maybe 20-30% of my calls from there, and I was looking up the religion, and I picked up that the people in the Caribbean seem very spiritual. And even though I'm Catholic and it's different, I just pick up a certain spirituality, and I believe that's one reason why they do call psychic networks, and they believe it, because people that aren't spiritual at all really don't believe in what I do and what people like I do, you know, our service that we provide. They think we're quacky, or they don't believe that we're false prophets. But I believe, yeah, some people are spiritual and some people do need a spiritual awakening. And I always, it seems to be the ongoing theme of my books in all of them. I have this Healing Power series. I'm in the fourth one now. That's done very well, translated in 20 languages around the world. And I always seem to reiterate, feed the body, mind, and spirit. And I see that in all of my books, all of my articles. It's just to be balanced, maybe it's the Libra in me, to be balanced, you need to nourish your body, your mind, and your spirit. And if one is lacking, then the others will.
Right. Now, do you ever get any intuitive feelings about the presidency of Barack Obama? You've collapsed.
Oh, I was correct. Okay, I was correct. I did. I remember. I have a earthquake website, and I remember I did a big prediction that I definitely believe that he would be our next president. And I remember bickering with Jim Berglund. We're kind of like, he's like my dad, and we're rivals. We're very competitive. And he said Obama would never be our next president, but I said no, he definitely is going to be, and I believed it, and of course he was. So I did use my intuition for that. And it definitely worked. I didn't even vote because I knew so. I just felt so strongly he definitely was going to win. It was a shoo-in. I knew it. I just knew it. And I thought it would be by quite a bit. You know, not a real close race. Any feelings about it now? I'm just frustrated with the whole situation with politics. So I have a fuzzy read. It's like sometimes. On occasion, I'll get callers that challenge me or have a really nasty attitude or are not open-minded. And kind of like if you go to a dentist and you won't open your mouth, and then you just, well, you'll tell the dentist to go, what's wrong with me? But then you don't open your mouth. A lot of dentists will just say, you know, goodbye, I don't have time for you. And sometimes I feel that way with a few callers. And so, you know, I would get a fuzzy read, not a clear read. And with the president, I'm just frustrated with politics. Is, you know, I'm no longer even Democrat. I guess I'm independent now. I'm just, you know, I don't think I'm Republican. I'm just frustrated with politics. It's just, things aren't working. And today he was saying, you know, they're not working as fast as we want them to. But I get that. He can't fix the world. I mean, it was a mess when he, you know, went into office. But it's a mess. We're in challenging times, you know, and you're talking to a baby boomer, you know. I've gone through things, you know, a couple recessions for sure, and difficulties, the Cuban Missile Crisis. I mean, I've been around. It just,
yes.
I don't feel real good about the world situation, but I feel that we should, as trite as it sounds, we should feel, we should take each day, you know, count our blessings, and things, bad things can happen so quickly. We should, you know, just be aware and be happy for what we have, despite how challenging things are and how challenging things are going to get. I don't believe things are going to get much better fast. There's no quick fix for all the things that are going on in America or in the world. And Obama, I will say, I don't believe that he's going to be a second-term president. That is a prediction I have. I really don't. I would even put money on that. I'm going to have to call Berglund. Get a wager going with him again, because I just don't believe he's going to be a second-term president. And it's not because he's a Leo. He's very energetic. He's very charismatic. He's very hardworking. He's a typical Leo. But a great orator, I mean, he's wonderful, fun to listen to. But I just don't believe he's going to be a second term president. And it'll be sad because he's going the extra mile. He's giving his all and more. I just don't believe the cards are. It's in the cards that he's going to be second term.
Mm. Well, I certainly feel, as someone that lives outside of the US, that he's a very positive president. I think it's a shame that he still has people around him of the old sort of crew, and it's a shame that he hasn't been able to bring more people through that are in tune with what he wants to do. So I think he's got his hands tied to a certain extent, but
right.
I think he's a bit of a breath of fresh air, really, compared to your previous president.
Agreed, but we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, you know? It just, I don't know, being middle class and in America is just, it's really, really frustrating. It just, but it's not his fault. You know, we can't blame him for our healthcare system, which sucks. It's really bad. It's just, you know, people like me, I'm 58 years old, I'm really healthy, I'm in healthy tier one, and I keep having to pay higher and higher premiums. The deductible is outrageous, but I've never even been in the hospital. I've never had a disease. I've only had my tonsils out when I was 2. I just don't understand why I have to keep paying and paying and paying. It just doesn't seem fair.
I suppose you're paying for the privilege of being well, aren't you?
But just think, you know, if I did take the risk, but as a health author, I'm not going to, but if I did take the risk and take those premiums every month and put it into a savings account, I would probably be better off, because as an independent contractor, an author, you know, I don't have a pension. So I'm like a honeybee that just has to work until I die. It's very, very sad. And I'm sure I'm not alone. There's a lot of, you know, hardworking baby boomers, and even people older than us that have to keep working. And I don't know.
Right. Now, your predictions, as far as I can see, that you have put into writing, don't appear to cover any part of Europe. Now, is it because you don't really get any intuitive feelings about that area, or you don't put your mind to it? I mean, is there anything to say about Europe?
Well, actually, I did get the Italy quake spot on, that 6.3. I was 5 days off, and I was going to go to Italy that year because my Healing Powers book series on the food, and they all have a very strong Mediterranean slant. And I just felt that Italy was going to get hit with a quake, and they did. They got 3 moderate quakes in 2008, and then I believe those were 4 shocks. I extended my prediction, and then on April 5th, they got hit with a 6.3. So that was a hit. And also with, I do have a prediction out about Greece, Turkey, and Italy for this year. Now we have, like you said, we have a quarter left. Greece has been getting a lot of quakes, just moderate quakes, though. I have a gut instinct that out of those 3, Greece would be number 1, Turkey number 2, Italy 3. I don't think Italy's going to repeat itself, but Greece, it would not surprise me if they get a 7.0 plus from now until December 31st. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, Greece has a history, you know, of quakes, as does Turkey, as does Italy. So I do have it, but I, you know, people, I remember I didn't, after the coast to coast, I was on coast to coast as the quake sensitive, and then when the Chile quake hit, some people said, well, what happened to the quake sensitive? Why didn't she pick that one up? What was that, an 8.8, and how devastating it was? I didn't pick it up because I have no link to South America. But ironically, 2 weeks ago, a large publisher in Brazil bought a very large amount of my Healing Powers books. So now I have investment in South America, so maybe I'll start getting some predictions from there. But it helps if I have a connection, some sort of a connection with an area, like California, the West Coast, definitely, but even the Midwest, I could tell about their weather. It just sort of depends. So I do kind of have a handle on Europe, on the major countries that I did mention. But that's because of my knowledge of quake history there.
Right. Now, moving on to something else. What are your Healing Powers series of books that you tell us have been purchased and promoted by Newsmax to Bookspan?
Oh, right. Newsmax is huge. They're wonderful. They've been very good to me and to the books. Back in 1999, before recessions, I had an editor. This is when editors call you just in a heartbeat, and they say, would you like to write a book? And then it's a done deal. I had an editorial consultant call me from my publisher in New York, and he said, would you like to write a book on vinegar or ghostwrite a book for a cardiologist? I thought about it, did the Libra flip-flop for a week, and I came back and I said, I want to work solo and I'll do the vinegar book. But I knew nothing about vinegar. So I did it, and it was a painful process, but I can write anything. I have a master's in creative writing, English, so I did it. And the book really didn't take off for the first couple of years. And, you know, I just let it go. 2004, I got my first royalty check, which means I paid off my advance. I got my first royalty check. From then on, the check started getting larger and larger and larger. Yeah. And then we started selling translation rights to South Korea. The vinegar book, The Healing Powers of Vinegar, was the best-selling health book in South Korea for quite some time. And so then it went to, I wrote The Healing Powers of Olive Oil, and then The Healing Powers of Chocolate, which came out this year. And I'm finishing up, as we speak, The Healing Powers of Honey. I have now morphed into a queen bee. If you go to the dictionary and look up queen bee, you will see my face.
Right.
I have been treated to so many different things from honey, so many byproducts of honey, from candles to beauty products, honey varietals in my pantry, just awesome honeys. And I've learned so much by going to Honeyland. It's a wonderful world.
It's wonderful. Did you have to eat a lot of chocolate to find out what the healing powers of chocolate were?
Did I have to? I was spoiled. Oh, my God. The chocolatiers, oh, they were so good to me, as are the honey people. They sent me UPS boxes of chocolate, high-end prestige chocolate, all kinds, infused with herbs, spices, fruits, dark chocolate. We're talking killer chocolate. I was just... I went to chocolate heaven, but Honeyland is fun too. Honeyland is fun. They're both fun. I don't know what next book will follow that could be as sweet as those two. I really don't.
Personally speaking, I use Manuka honey, which I gather is excellent for the body in a form of an antiseptic, I believe. What do you know about Manuka honey?
Oh, it's awesome. I have it in the house, definitely. And I interviewed very well-known Peter Molan from New Zealand. He gave me a great interview, and he's been researching that for 20-plus years, 27 years, almost 30. It is so great. I actually cut my toe, a month ago on the deck. And it was a pretty nasty cut, and I, you know, it didn't need stitches. I went into the bathroom, and I used the Manuka honey. I've had it in all different forms. And my brother, who is kind of close-minded, laughed. He goes, oh, yeah, right. Why don't you put apple cider vinegar? Now you're into honey on the wound. You know that my toe healed in 2 days? It's really awesome. It is. It has so many wonderful properties. It's one of the best honeys for skin. But if you were out in the wilderness and you just had a different, like buckwheat honey or even clover honey, any honey could be helpful because of the antibacterial and anti-inflammatory properties. But if you had your choice, Manuka by far. And it comes in soaps and lotions and, you know, different strengths, some that are edible and some that are just used for topical use. But it's awesome, and you can actually get it online. And some doctors are even using it in the United States for wounds that don't heal, like if you have diabetes, cancer wounds. But doctors are more progressive in the UK, and they're more progressive in New Zealand, Australia, Europe, and they're using Manuka honey in hospitals. And, you know, doctors are using it in their practices, we're not doing it as much in the United States. But that doesn't surprise me, because it's the same thing with other things.
Right.
When you use it for small cuts, what do you do? Do you just put a blob on there and leave it open, or do you have to cover it up? Do you put a little plaster on it?
They actually have bandages, and I remember somebody, one of the people I was talking with, they were going to send me the bandages. I wish I would have said, oh, yes, I'll take that, but I didn't. I have it in different forms. Like, I have one in a jar, and it's just like honey, but it's thicker and it's very dark, and you can just put it on topically, just, you know, spread it on like a cut or a wound a couple times a day, and it's just, it's really awesome. It really is. I have two dogs, and my dog's nose is acting up, the top of it again. He had a surgery on it. A foreign object got into it, and $1,000 later, everything was great. But 2 years later, he's kind of has a black rim around his nose, and it could be because of the high altitude and the sun exposure since I live in Lake Tahoe. I was really tempted, though, to use the Manuka honey on his nose. Now, I know my veterinarian, he would poo-poo it because he's conventional. But Dr. Molin, I asked him when I interviewed him, can we use it for our animals? And he said, definitely, you know, topically. So I'm debating right now. I don't think it would hurt him. I mean, it's like using apple cider vinegar or olive oil, which also has antibacterial properties.
I was going to ask you, can you use Manuka honey for burns, or is that a different proposition?
No, you can, and actually, there was some news article just recently, I shouldn't pick that up again to add to the book, that they have been, and Dr. Mullen did say you can use it for pets, different types of pets, yeah, if there's a cut or a wound, definitely.
Right. Now, we're having such a good time here, Carol, that we are looming near the end of the program.
Okay.
I wonder if at this stage you would like to give our listeners information about your websites and where they can obtain your books.
Okay, my website is just like my name, Cal, CALOREY.com. My books everywhere, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, any online bookstore, in real bookstores, you name it, or even for me, if you have PayPal, I can send it to you wherever, you know, priority mail or ground mail, on my site. So that's easy. The psychic line that I work for, the number, I would love to give that out. If they don't want to talk to me, there's other psychic advisors as well. There's probably 20 plus of us. It's 702. You dial 1 first, 702-216-9900. It's Psychic Interactive, and they also call us Psychics Forever, and it's 24/7. I usually work, swing shift, like maybe 5 until 11 West Coast time, if anybody wants to call me. And that's about it. I hope I didn't say anything awful about Obama. I like him. I mean, how can you not like a Leo? It's just, I'm frustrated with politics, and I'm sure he's frustrated too. He cannot, he took on a lot, and nobody could fix it, especially in one term. Nobody could. You know, even Superman couldn't fix it in one term. I mean, I just don't want to be an Obama basher. I'm frustrated like many, many Americans are. And, you know.
But, well, I think you're right. You couldn't expect him to be able, in a very short time, to make a quick fix of all the things that had gone wrong in the preceding 10 years. I think he's made a very genuine attempt, particularly where healthcare is concerned. I mean, it's getting along very slowly, but I think, as you pointed out, he's very popular from the point of view of his drive, his personality, and his energy. I think that counts for a lot, because the previous president, I think, was looked upon quite differently.
Right. No, I agree. Right now, if we had to choose between the two, I agree. It's just, it's frustrating. you know, it's frustrating when you're middle class. It really is. I'm sure the affluent, I don't know, I guess they have their own frustrations too, though, especially if they're going to be taxed more than they're going to be screaming out.
I'm going to have to say thank you very much, Carol, for coming onto the program. It's been very interesting talking to you. I've got a couple of minutes to announce that next week's guest will be Patricia McGiven, and she's the author of a very unusual book called Angel Babies, Messages from Miscarried or Other Lost Babies. So that will be something a little bit different. So I'm sure you've enjoyed today's program, and I do hope you can make it next week. Thanks for being with us. God bless you all. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Cal.